Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at this verse of scripture in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married a long time, some just got married, some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us are believers, but not all. But we're all here because we need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Well, for the Florida Gators football team, when they start in the spring, I'm sure they go over some of the basics, blocking and tackling. And in our church right now, we're going over some of the basics of what we believe. We are in a series of what we believe as a church family. This is actually the ninth message in that series, and we're doing that looking at what we call the Baptist faith and message that is shown in this little booklet right here. We have some of these. If you need one, you can get all this online as well. If you're on your computer and you want to just look at what all the different articles of the Baptist faith and message are, we've studied about the Bible, we've studied about God, we've studied about man, that he was a special creation, created male or female, guilty of rebellion, that all mankind has a future. We've talked about salvation, the need for salvation, the scope of salvation, the exclusivity of salvation in Christ, the way of salvation, the purpose of salvation, and the permanence of salvation. We talked about baptism and the Lord's Supper, one message. And then we've talked about the church. Who's the master of the church? What is the membership of the church made up of? What are its ordinances? And we're doing one of the ordinances this week, and next week another ordinance. Today is the Lord's Supper. Next week will be baptism. What are the ordinances? What are the offices of the local church? What is the polity of a local church? And then what is the scope of the church in general over all of its centuries? All right? Then we looked at the Lord's Day and the kingdom. The Lord's Day is Sunday, the first day of the week, and all that changed because of the resurrection. And then last week we talked about future, what we believe about future things, and we concluded that Jesus Christ is coming again. We concluded that Jesus will rule for 1,000 years on the earth in the future. We also agreed that Jesus will judge all people. So we think about these doctrines. Well, today we are going to look at the issue of stewardship, all right? The word stewardship originates from an Old English stigward is the word, an Old English word pronounced stigward. And the word stig means a hall or a household, and ward means a warden or a guardian or a keeper. It literally means keeper of the house. In other words, if you are a steward of something, that means you've been giving something and you are maintaining it and treasuring it and keeping up with it. You are stewarding something that you have been given. Well, as a follower of Jesus, we are to carefully and intentionally take care of all that God has entrusted to us. Let me say that again. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are to carefully and intentionally take care of all that God has entrusted to us. Now, here's what our Baptist Faith and Message says in Article 13 about stewardship. It says, God is the source of all blessings, temporal and spiritual. All that we have and all that we have and are, we owe to Him. Christians have a physical debtorship to the whole world, a holy trusteeship in the gospel, and a binding stewardship in their possessions. They are therefore under obligation to serve Him with their time, talents, and material possessions, and should recognize all these as entrusted to them to use for the glory of God and for the helping of others. According to the Scriptures, Christians should contribute of their means cheerfully, regularly, systematically, proportionally, and liberally for the advancement of the Redeemer's cause on the earth. So, as we think about this article of stewardship, we are going to look at this in two points. And here they are. I'm going to give them to you quickly. Number one, we must steward our minds. That's number one. We must steward our minds. Number two, we must steward our treasure. So think about this. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been entrusted with the blessings of God. So you must steward your mind. You must steward your treasure. So let's look at number one. We must steward our minds. In Psalm 31:5, it says, O Lord God of truth. Actually, it says, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. God is the central figure of truth, okay? All truth comes from the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Part of our Baptist faith and message, there's another article that I want to incorporate into this article on stewardship, and it's an article on education, and it really is the impetus for me saying we must steward our minds. Here is what our Baptist faith and message says about education. Quote, Christianity is the faith of enlightenment and intelligence. By the way, it is interesting that sometimes people think if you're a Christian, you're closed-minded. Can I tell you this? Many of the advancements of society that have happened in the secular world have been the result of people that were committed to Christ using their gifts and talents to make the world a better place. I think about all the hospitals that have been started because of Christians. I think about the human care that people give in tragedy. I think about our own disaster relief with our Southern Baptist Convention. One of the greatest things we do is care for folks when they've had a disaster. All of this is a result that God has made us a steward of thought and a steward of the blessings that God has given us. So Christianity is the faith of enlightenment and intelligence. In Jesus Christ, about all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all sound learning is therefore a part of our Christian heritage. I've just got to pause there and say this because I was a student at UF, and I would say this to our students here and also all of our young people. Anybody that tells you that you are closed-minded to be a believer in Jesus Christ is not giving you the truth. All knowledge has come from God. He's the one created science. He's the one that created this human body that we study. I mean, God is the author of intelligence, and he's the one that treasures all wisdom and knowledge. Now, let me continue with reading the article here. It says, the new birth opens all human faculties and creates a thirst for knowledge. Moreover, the cause of education in the kingdom of Christ is coordinate with the causes of missions and general benevolence, and should receive along with these liberal support of the churches. An adequate system of Christian education is necessary to a complete spiritual program for Christ's people. In Christian education, there should be a proper balance between academic freedom and academic responsibility. Freedom in any orderly relationship of human life is always limited and never absolute. The freedom of a teacher in a Christian school, college, or seminary is limited by the preeminence of Jesus Christ, by the authoritative nature of the Scriptures, and by the distinct purpose for which the school exists. Well, I was thinking about if we are stewards over our mind, here are some things that are important. Number one, Jesus is the ultimate truth. In John 14:6, Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Logos of God. He was the superintending word of wisdom to the world. And Jesus makes that claim, "I am the way, I am the truth." Jesus Christ is the ultimate truth. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 says this, "To the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So, Jesus is the ultimate truth as we think about stewarding our minds. The second thing under that is this, your education is your discipleship. In other words, how you're in your mind, as you steward your mind, part of the process is you to be discipled. And as we think about your Christian education in your life, it is equated in many ways with your discipleship and growth. Here's what I would say to you. Be converted. If you're not a Christian, if you have not surrendered your life to Christ and repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, the first step for you to steward your mind and your life would be to be converted. And then I would say be baptized. We're baptizing next Sunday morning. If you need to be baptized as a public profession of your faith in Christ, be baptized. And then we read Scripture, the Word of God. We've talked about the importance of the Word of God. We read Scripture. We're involved in prayer. Prayer is talking to God. We memorize Scripture. This morning we quoted those two verses. Actually, we kind of read them, but hopefully we're memorizing those verses of Scripture. Because when we hide God's Word in our heart, we'll have success, the Scripture says. So we memorize Scripture. I would encourage you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. That's part of what you're to do as you grow in Christ. We are to teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are to provoke one another on to love and to good work. So as we think about our discipleship is really the education of our life in the Christian faith. And then the other thing is this happens, now listen to this, it happens primarily in the home, Christian education. The Scripture says, "Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The greatest institution for Christian education is the home, I would just say to everybody in here that the transfer of the treasure of the gospel to the next generation is enhanced by what the church does, but it is primarily done in the home. And then we see it also in the church. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season." One of the reasons that we have preaching in this corporate worship time is because we are studying the Bible together. So in the church, we are stewarding our mind by preaching the Word of God. And what do? We pass it on to others. The Bible says, "In the things that you've heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will teach others also." In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, it says this as you think about growth in the church. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And what's the goal? "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So as you think about stewardship, you are a keeper. You're a keeper of the home. You're a keeper of the treasure. All right? You have to treasure and be a steward over your mind. And that happens knowing that Jesus is truth. Your discipleship is part of your education. It happens primarily in the home, but it also happens in the church. And then here's the second thing. The second thing is this. We must steward our treasure. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, the scripture says this. 2 Corinthians 5:19, we must steward our treasure. It says this. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In other words, everything we have in this life that is of any value comes from the hand of God. And church family, you are a steward of the blessings of God. Jesus reconciled the world to himself, and he's given us the treasure and the word of reconciliation. So you are a steward of this treasure that has been given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's your responsibility as an individual believer, but it's our responsibility as a corporate church. That's why as a church family, we have a strategy to reach our community. We have a strategy to be disciple makers in this church, to grow people up from our little ones all the way to our seniors, to be growing and seeing lives transformed in the life of our church. So as you think about this, you think about we must steward our treasure, all right? That means our time. Everybody has the same amount of time. You've got 60 minutes in an hour. You got 24 hours a day. Part of your responsibility, my responsibility, and part of what our church has adopted as a statement of what stewardship means is that we will steward our time. Oh, you didn't know that? I hear you in the back there. You're asking, what do you mean my time? Oh, you didn't realize that when you gave your life to Christ, you don't get up every day and do what you want to do anymore. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you get up every day and you say, Lord God, let these hands be your hands today. Let these feet take me where you want me to go today. Let this mind dwell on what you want me to dwell on today. Let my future and my passions of life be a part and dovetail into your will for my life. You see, you're a steward. You're a steward of your time. It also means not just your time, but it means your talents. Your talents. I don't know what your talents are. I know some of the things that I'm partly talented in, and I hope that we commit that to the Lord. But you think about your talent. What is it God's given you? Maybe you have a musical talent. Maybe you have an athletic talent. Maybe you're super, super smart in your mind. Maybe God has given you some incredible experiences. You know what? You have to steward those for the glory of God. You are to give him not only your time, you're to give him your talents. And that may be your experience. That may be your giftedness and talents that you have. It may be just your enthusiasm. You know, the word enthusiasm comes from two words, in God. Theos is the word God, where we get the word enthusiasm, the second part of that word. In other words, when you are in God, that's where we get the word enthusiasm. You get excited about what God is doing, and so maybe that's part of your giftedness. Maybe it's your influence. You say, I don't know if I could influence anyone. Can I tell you this? I could go on forever telling you of older adults in my life when I was a teenage boy that their influence shaped me. I'm about to talk to you about money. Just kind of prepping you a little bit. But I remember when I was a teenage boy sitting in a youth camp at Lake Yale. Ben, you know about Lake Yale. And this man got up in front of our cabin. He said, I've had $1 million. Man, we were like bug-eyed. That was a long time ago. $1 million. $1 million is a lot of money anyway, even now, right? I'd take $1 million right now, but anyway, But back then, man, he said, I've had $1 million. And then he said, I've lost $1 million. And we were teenage boys sitting in his cabin at probably 11 o'clock at night, one of the nights of camp, and he said, I've had $1 million and I've lost $1 million in business. But he said, young men, life's not all about money. I will never forget that as long as I live. Because this old world wants to tell you otherwise. And that man used his experience to help a little kid understand some things about money. I don't know what your experience is. Maybe you've been through some real tragedy. I've told you about going through, as a kid, my parents split up when I was 6 years old. I always wondered why. And then the Lord made me a youth director, and a boy walked in my office one day and said, my parents are splitting up, and I don't know if I can make it. And the light came on. What the devil meant for evil, God can turn for good. And I looked at that guy in the eye and said, let me tell you my story. I was his youth director. And God had taken a hurtful thing and turned it for good. I don't know what your experience is, but let me tell you this. Do not believe that you can give your life to Jesus Christ and not surrender your time, your talents to Him. God's put you on this earth. You are a minister of reconciliation to the world. This is why we have the article in our statement of faith that we are stewards. And you say, well, I'm not a Bible teacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not, don't have this title. You know what? We've sometimes made too much of that. You know what you are? You are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. God can use you right where you are with the things He's given you. Thirdly, we give Him our time. We're stewards of our minds. That was number one. Number two, we're stewards of our treasure. We give Him our time, our talents. And our money. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can I just make a bold statement? Nobody said yes, but I'm going to do it anyway. I want every Christian in here to be a tither. Not because God needs your money, but because every time you give proportionally in that way, it's a statement of your lordship, of the lordship of Christ in your life. I heard one pastor was preaching in Oklahoma about tithing, and he got up and he said in his message, he said, I just want you to know I challenge you to tithe. You give a 10% of all that you make and give it to the church. And he said, I'm so bold in this, I'll make you a commitment. If you do that for 1 year and it doesn't work out good, you let us know, we'll give you back all your money. So I got to thinking about how bold that guy was in that church in Oklahoma. I thought, well, I'm going to do that Sunday morning, March the 8th. So I'd like to go on record and say, you tithe for 1 year, and if it doesn't work out, that pastor in Oklahoma will give you all your money back. But in all seriousness, the tithe is a proportion. Now, we don't have time to go into all the details about tithing. I know some people will teach you and say to you that tithing's not in the Bible. Let me say it this way. There is great indication that tithing is the beginning point of giving, because when Jesus came into the world, he upped the standard. He says, I say to you that if you have heard it said you should not commit adultery, but then I say to you, if you just look on a woman in a wrongful way, you've already committed adultery in your heart. In other words, he raised the bar. He took the Old Testament law and raised the bar. He says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. I say to you, if you say to your friend, Raka, you have committed murder in your heart. He raised the bar. So Randy Alcorn's book, The Treasure Principle, is a classic on this. And he basically says that tithing is the beginning point. So what is a tithe? Well, it's a proportion. It says in the book of Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, saith the Lord, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. It's one-tenth of your income. It's to a place. It's a proportion. It's to a place. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse in the Old Testament in Malachi was the temple, was the place of worship. In the New Testament, it says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up. That word storing up is the New Testament equivalent of the word storehouse in the Old Testament. So every indication is that on the first day of the week, the people give, and that's one reason that we give the way we do. And then it's with a purpose. Tithing honors the Old Testament principle, providing for ministry. Can I tell you this? We have in our church, one of the reasons that we do it this way is because of these articles that we believe on stewardship. We have what we call a unified budget. When you give to all that we have agreed to do. We have a stewardship team that brings a budget to this church. We've talked about our polity. We're a congregationally ruled church, so we bring it to this entire congregation. And our church as a family says, yes, we believe that's the budget we ought to have. So we have a unified budget. When you give to all that we've agreed to do. That's the preschool ministry, the children's ministry, the youth ministry, the college ministry, the adults, the women's, the men, the church planning, local outreach, world missions. It pays the electric bill. We give online. We give in boxes back here. We used to pass the plate. Maybe we need to do that some more. We used to do that all the time. But we give, and we give a unified budget. We don't receive gifts that you mark out to do certain things. I don't want this to go to the electric bill. I want this to go to buying something for the preschool. Well, we have a unified budget. Our church has agreed on a unified budget. Now, we do allow, because this has been our pattern, you give to world missions through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering anytime you want. You can also give to our building fund anytime you want. But generally, you give to the general fund of the church. And then it's with a promise. It says, improve me now in this, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. Well, simply put, stewardship, listen, is a measure of true discipleship at its most tangible and visible level. This is going to sound maybe funny to you. The greatest thing, one of the greatest truths I ever learned as a teenage boy when I got saved was to tithe. And I'm thankful that Kelly learned the same thing as a little girl. And one of the reasons we have those pink envelopes is we want all of our children to understand the importance of giving. It's a little bit harder to do now that we don't pass the plate. But if you have little ones and your little ones are getting those envelopes, I encourage you to let them understand that this is giving to the Lord, and they put it in that box. You take them up to that box and you watch them put it in there so that they understand that they're giving.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.